Ladies and gentlemen, we are coming back to Atlanta.
Right now.
Whoa. Mark your calendars because the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts, but we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robey,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
I am so excited about this podcast, The Bright Side. You guys are giving people a chance to shine a light on their lives, shine a light on a little advice that they want to share.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
Every family has an origin story, one passed down through the generations. Mine happens to be a mystery involving my great-great-grandmother left behind in Sicily. I'm Joe Piazza, and my new podcast will transport you to the gorgeous island of Sicily as I trace my roots back through a whodunit for the ages. Listen to The Sicilian Inheritance on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, from Wonder Media Network, I'm Jenny Kaplan, host of Womanica, a daily podcast that introduces you to the fascinating lives women history has forgotten. We've always been intrigued by stories of disappearances, whether it's a fraudster from the 17th century who kept evading the authorities, or a novelist who taunted the Nazis and faked her own death. We all want to know, what happened next? To find out, listen to Womanica on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's 902-1ONG. With Jenny Garth and Tori Spelling.
Hi, you guys. How are you? It's another week of us, your favorite girls. It's 9021 OMG with me, Jen, and Sis. Hi, guys.
Hi, guys.
Hi. How y'all doing?
Excited, clearly.
I can feel it. I can feel it through my ears.
Good.
This is, I don't even know what month we're in anymore. Has anybody else kind of lost track of time again? Like, I feel.
Yeah. Especially since we're nearing the 1 year anniversary of lockdown. Like, literally.
Right. We're about a month away.
Yeah. Where'd the year go? Like, it was so confusing. I have two kids with birthdays in March, and they started asking about their birthdays. I'm like, what do you mean? That's so far away. And then
already?
I'm like, oh my gosh.
I know.
It's happening.
Time flies when you can't leave the house.
And we're not getting any younger.
Come on, people. Let's get this over with.
Help us out here.
We have another exciting episode to talk about today, you guys. Did you watch it?
Of course.
You better say yes. Yeah. That's the whole point of this thing. One Man and a Baby. That's the name of it. This is episode 12, I think, and it aired on January 24th, 1991. And I'll just give you a synopsis since I'm already talking. Okay. Brandon gets a taste of parenthood from his date and her child. Brenda jumps at a radio contest prize, skydiving.
Dun, dun, dun. So this is pretty, like, talk about things coming full circle. So we're going to get into it, but the girl that plays Brandon's date, who has a child, is Kristen DiTillo, and my daughter is best friends with her daughter.
Cute.
They, all these years later, talk about parenthood and coming full circle, they ended up going to school together, and they've been going to school together and best friends since they were 4 years old. And Stella's 12 now and Eve's 12 now. So
that's weird how that happened.
Right?
Yeah. This was a really good episode, I felt like. I forgot to mention it was written by Amy Spies and Darren Starr. So they teamed up together for this one. And had a lot of like sensitive, meaningful moments for me. I mean, just seeing Brandon with a baby was so cute. But it starts out and he's sitting by the tree, right, at lunch. And it just occurred to me, Brandon hits on every girl he sees.
He's a teen boy. That's what they do. That's their job, right?
I guess so. Like it just,
he doesn't hide it well, though.
No. He's so good at it. It's like a natural instinct. Well,
those eyes, I mean, use what you got.
Even on the other side of a tree, he knew he was interested in her. Sis, did you like this episode?
I loved this episode. And I loved how mature Brandon treated the whole situation with the baby. And he didn't go running for the hills, even though Steve told him to. Mm-hmm. And he really kind of stepped up. But it's so funny how clueless, I don't want to say guys, all guys are.
But they are. Go on.
It's just so funny how clueless they made him be, a teenage boy with the baby, and her just trusting him with her and the baby for the whole day. I have a 16-year-old nephew. I would never trust him with my kids, yet I would trust my 13-year-old niece in a heartbeat.
Like, why? I feel like, because you know, it's just a double standard. But
I've just seen her around the twins already, mm-hmm. so I know how she knows how to change a diaper. She knows like how to take care. She essentially takes care of them whenever we're together. I can see it. And my,
but let's face it, we just trust a woman over a man with responsibilities.
I know. I
any
hate
day.
To say it, it because I'm all about it equality. Is. But it's
no,
like,
I know, but
it's just so funny.
We feel like women innately, even when they're little, have maternal instincts.
We do.
You know? So we do. I mean, girls play with dolls in an early age and change diapers, and mm-hmm. boys are like smashing things and killing dolls. So it's just, you know, it's two different
so
breeds.
You would know. You have boys. I have no idea what you're talking about.
Well, for instance, my oldest is 13, but he's a boy. And I definitely trust my 12-year-old, even though she's just a year younger, because she's a girl. And
yeah, but Stella is more competent than either of us. So
this is true.
I would trust her as well. I know. I feel bad for this character. What was the girl's name? I can't. Melissa.
Melissa.
I felt bad for Melissa because she didn't have anybody else to go to. Like, her friends were clearly not good friends and not interested in mm-hmm. supporting her. And when her mom wasn't available, she just had this new friendship with Brandon. She barely knew Brandon, and mm-hmm. she was like, "Here, take my baby." And here's it's the Moses basket, and here's its bag of everything.
The Moses basket.
I know.
She got lucky. She got Brandon Walsh, do good male of all time.
No.
Like, yeah, it worked.
Those Moses baskets, though, they scare me because I used to have one for mm-hmm. my kids.
And, me too. Why? Why is it?
They're cute.
You?
They're so pretty. I love them. But well, one time, the oldest, Luca's dad was holding the Moses basket, and one of the little handles slipped out of his hand, so it like flopped her out of it and onto the hard floor in our house. And I was at work shooting 90210, and I just remember getting a call, him saying, you know, I'm taking her to the emergency room. So she hit her head on the floor. It was really freaked out, and she had a big shiner from it, but thank God she was okay. But so scary.
Oh, I could see how that would affect you then. Oh my gosh.
Oh, you guys. Okay. This is a little inside thing. When I was watching this episode, it was early on. I don't know what scene it was. Oh, no, I do. It was when Brandon and Brenda and Kelly were in her bedroom and they were, you know, doing the radio show. Mm-hmm. And maybe they were talking about the date, the phone call. Did you guys see the boom in the shot? The sound guy?
Like, no, I missed that.
You could see it from the top?
Like three times.
See it from the top?
Three times.
Like three times. Yeah. A big, hairy, black thing dips yeah. into frame, right? Like,
she's talking about the mic.
Yeah.
I love that when that happens because, do you remember, Tor, the boom, the sound guys on our show?
Like Robo?
Robo. Blake Wilcox. And yep. his son,
he was
Robo.
He started like all the sound equipment.
Mm-hmm.
And he had his sons on the show.
And they were characters, man. They were.
Oh, yeah.
And they would fight. They would start like when a boom would dip into a shot and the camera guys would tell the sound man, "Oh, we see your boom." They would try to make it so that Blake couldn't hear them telling Robo that because he was the operator of the boom sticky thing. And I remember Blake just going off on Robo, and then they would just start fighting, and we would all just stand there and wait it out.
Because Blake would be at his sound card if we were like on location or on set, like somewhere else. And remember when he would just like freak out and throw his headphones down and walk off?
Yeah, it was. There was more sound man drama than there was actor drama.
With us.
Yeah. That's really funny.
Isn't that funny? The behind the scenes of the behind the scenes.
But how did that not get caught? Like, it still aired that way?
I mean, sometimes it's the whole
You know, they have. Saw it and they were like, oh, we're not reshooting that.
Like, we don't say anything. Maybe they won't notice.
I saw it one other time in this episode, too. So I thought,
Wow, quite a detective over here.
I know. That's my thing. I love watching for that stuff. Like, I love watching for when there's a boom in the shot. This is with any show, movie, whatever I'm watching. Mm-hmm. Or, like, any miscontinuity whenever that's, like, you see an actor taking a drink of a drink, and then on the next shot they're taking the same drink again. You know, like, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
You know, there's, like, there's websites for that. People that are fans of calling out continuity issues. You should join. You'd be very popular.
I'd be the biggest fan, yeah.
The biggest one was the Starbucks cup in Game of Thrones. Mm-hmm. Did you guys ever see that?
That was a good one. Whoa, that was a big deal.
Fact, I've never seen an episode of that show.
I watched it all by myself because nobody else wanted to watch it in my house.
Mm-hmm. I would have watched it with you.
Speaking of websites, I heard that there's a website about your feet.
Oh, yeah, WikiFeet.
Oh, WikiFeet. Yes. I was on my friend Jeff Lewis's radio show, and that was brought up. And I didn't realize that's a thing. I think he's just obsessed with the site altogether. So when he has people on, he brings it up. So I would love to know. Red flag. But yeah, there was like over 600 photos of my feet. And I think, I'm not sure what it is, but I wonder how many photos of your feet are on there. She has really good feet.
Let's not, I don't want to talk about
feet. Oh, can someone look that up? That's really fun. Yeah. Please do it. It's fascinating.
He told me my feet have their own Instagram account.
No, they do not.
I don't know.
He would know. He would know.
He's the master of investigating the Instagram wormholes.
How many photos does she have? She has so many.
Well, you have a 5-star rating. So clearly.
Good.
See, my feet have 5 stars. Yes.
See, she's always very concerned what rating we have on our show because you can give us stars. Please do give us 5 stars for our podcast. Yeah. But there
then
you go.
Head on over to my feet page.
WikiFeet, you have 5 stars as well. So let's just keep it consistent.
There's so many.
Jennifer Eve Garth, you are just winning in the feet department because she does have great feet. I love her feet, but I'm glad to know that others love your feet. I'm not sure, don't quote me on this, but I think people might look at these photos for indecent reasons.
Like foot fetish people?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Like sexual foot fetish, yeah. So don't think that people are just like, oh, she has pretty feet. They're like, oh, she has pretty feet.
Creepy.
In a creepy way.
Creepy. Well, listen, if my feet make you happy, I'm happy for you.
Okay, so I don't even know how to get back to the episode after going through that. I'm not even sure what to do at this point.
I'm sorry.
Except maybe, sis, we should take a break. Like, I don't know what to do now.
Yeah, there's more to discuss because we need to get to Brenda and Kelly skydiving and that whole, part of the episode. Also, we have somebody waiting right now in our Zoom waiting room. So I think we should take a break and come back with Douglas Emerson.
Yes. Awesome. Okay. So excited to see him.
Hey, everyone. So as you can imagine, we know a thing or two about makeup. We've pretty much tried it all.
And we are really liking Thrive Cosmetics because they have a full line of makeup perfect for an everyday look refresh.
They have clean ingredients that feel great on your skin. And their products are foolproof, which makes it easy for any skill level to apply.
And it's really cool to know that Thrive Cosmetics donates products and funds to help communities thrive.
Oh, I love that connection. See that? Plus, how cool is it that their high-performance formulas are certified 100% vegan and cruelty-free?
Amazing. And they have zero parabens, sulfates, and phthalates.
I really believe when it comes to makeup, beautiful eyebrows are so important. don't you think? Their Infinity Waterproof Eyebrow Liner helps you achieve your ideal eyebrow look.
And their easy-to-use waterproof pencil holds like a wax and blends like a powder.
Ooh la la. Refresh your everyday look with Thrive Cosmetics, luxury beauty that gives back.
Right now, you can get an exclusive 10% off your first order at thrivecosmetics.com/90210.
That's Thrive Cosmetics, CAUSEMETICS.com/90210 for 10% off your first order.
I'm Elliot Connie, and this is Family Therapy.
My best hopes, I guess, identify the life that I want and work towards it.
I never seen a man take care of my mother the way she needed to be taken care of.
I get the impression that you don't feel like you've done everything right as a father. Is that true?
That's true. And I'm not offended by that.
Thank you for going through those things and thank you for overcoming them.
Thank God for deliverance.
Every time I have like one of our sessions be positive. It just keeps me going.
I feel like my focus is redirected in a different aspect of my life now.
So, how'd we do today?
We did good.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy. Listen now on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV true crime podcast, To Live and Die in LA. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
iHeart Podcast Update. This week on your free iHeartRadio app.
Fodor's Guide to Espionage, a 60s-era spy story of the world's first and greatest travel writer, Eugene Fodor, as he jet sets around the globe. Tongue Unbroken Season 2. This podcast explores complex concepts of identity, resilience, erasure, and genocide. Table for Two Season 2. Think of the show as a deconstructed Oscar party in podcast form. Each episode takes place over the romance of a meal and feels like you're seated next to a different guest at that dinner.
Hear these podcasts and more on your free iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, we're back, and he is best known as David Silver's childhood friend on Beverly Hills 90210, Scott Scanlon. We have him right now, Douglas Emerson. Welcome.
Douglas!
Hi, Doug.
So good to see you.
Hello, thank you. It's good to see you both.
I miss that smile. Look at that smile. You're all grown up now. That must mean we're all grown up. What happened?
Yeah, I think so.
30 years,
oh, man,
baby.
30 years, right? Ish.
It is what it is.
Oof. It is what it is. But it's been great.
He's younger than us, awesome, though, Jen. So. Wait, how old are you? You're younger than me.
Barely. Just a little bit. 46.
Like a year or two? Yeah.
So
that yeah. Year's a lot, especially men always look younger.
Oh, you're kind.
Douglas, you...
Women look better. Guys act younger. That's what I think.
That's true. Douglas, you went on to have a really amazing, adventurous life since we've seen you. I mean, I was reading and catching up with what's been going on with you, and you were in the Air Force.
Yep, I am. I went to college. I met my wife. I joined the Air Force. Got to do some really cool stuff, go some awesome places, be in some very, very cool training, and get... I got to have an extraordinary experience of it. So I did that, got out, and just now I'm just a working guy, just a normal
dude. You're a civilian again.
Yes, ma'am.
Absolutely. And you have two beautiful daughters, is it?
Yes, I do. Yeah.
How old are they now?
Let's see. My younger one is 21 and my older one is 23. And my older one graduated college 2 years ago. And my younger one is a junior in college. Aww. So, yeah.
Wow. Congratulations. Wow. Would you say that being on Beverly Hills 90210, being on our show, do you feel like that was, I don't know, do you look back on that fondly or do you feel like it was?
Oh, absolutely. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Most certainly. How could I not? It's a very, very, very special part of my life.
And do your daughters know about it?
Most certainly, yeah. Yeah, they
watch it.
I would at times embrace it. They largely embrace it. And sometimes they're maybe a little embarrassed by it. Maybe it's just kind of funny because that's not a part of my life that they ever knew.
Right.
You know? So it's interesting. You know, I think they're very proud of me and I'm super thankful for that. I'm very thankful for that. But
at what point did they watch the show? Like at what age?
At what age? Goodness. It probably depends between the two of them. I would say probably between 15 and 19-ish.
I'm only asking because I'm wondering if kids at school were like, oh my God, your dad was Scott. Like,
I believe that they largely didn't know. It's something that because it hasn't been a part of my life since then, it's something that I'm probably a little too close hold about because it doesn't really have a bearing on what I do now. You know?
Did you ever hear that your mom, Diane's her name, right?
Yes, ma'am. Yeah.
Your mom, she told a little bird that maybe you might have had a crush on Miss Spelling at one point.
I believe that. I think that's actually been in print somewhere. I'm sure there's a bit of truth to that. We were very good friends. We were very close friends.
We were. Yeah. We were all the OGs. We all started at the same time, but Doug and Brian and I were the youngest and we had a lot of our stuff together. So the three of us were tight and just always together. It was like my different worlds. Like I wanted to be with my friends that were my age and that was the three of us. But then I wanted to be with like the cool kids, even though, I mean, Jen, we're only a year apart. She's older. I just love to point that out. But I wanted to be with like the girls. So it was like two different worlds I was being pulled into. But I loved hanging out with you.
It was fun. It was fun. I enjoyed having you and Brian very much. Just to do stuff away from set and away from work too was a lot of fun. Getting dinner, driving around Hollywood or Beverly Hills or just anywhere sightseeing or having fun and laughing and joking also off the set and on the set. So I appreciated that. Having genuine friendship, I think, was, I remember especially fondly.
It's so funny. Like boys are just so different. Like, so I was friends with Doug and Brian and Doug would always be nice. And like, I would confide in him and tell him stuff. And Brian would just be like teasing me and making fun of me. And that was like the dynamic. And you were always kind. So I always felt more comfortable like confiding in you about life and everything.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
Even from a young age, he was a kind man, gentleman.
I appreciate that.
It's so great as Scott Scanlon. Oh my God. Nobody could be Scott but you in my eyes.
I know. Now that we're rewatching the show, we just keep saying, we're like, he's so cute. He's so handsome.
You're too kind. I appreciate it.
Every time you're on the screen, yeah.
It means a lot.
Every time you come up, we're like, oh my God, he's so cute. He's so funny. We just love when you are in the scenes. And I, as Kelly, I didn't spend that much time like, you know, looking at you or David in those early years. I was usually just blowing right past you or doing something really rude. I don't even know, but I'm sorry. That's just hard to say. I'm sorry.
No, not at all. You were always so kind. Are you kidding? I remember actually, and it was when I was in the military and we had my older daughter, Haley, and we came to the set in Malibu And you and Luke were the only two people that were working that day that were available for, and my wife got to meet you, and you were nothing but kind to her and to my daughter and to me. And just, so no, you were always just super kind. So I'm appreciative, you know, and now in retrospect, and when people I do know, and I won't yammer about this too long, so I apologize. I can be long-winded, but when I get to discuss things with people that I know, and they're awestruck, I take it for granted, right? Because it was just normal, you know. And while I was such a blessed and short period of time, I do take it a little bit for granted. But people that are like, wait, no, there isn't a chance that you really met them. You really? Are you kidding? And I'm just like, they're totally.
You're like,
cool.
I was one of them.
I suppose I could look at it in that regard. Yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know, so.
OG, baby.
So I took it in stride, and I consider myself very fortunate to be able to vouch for you all being genuine, nice, kind people, which is cool. So
it's interesting, cool. Like rewatching it now through our adult eyes, and we're watching it like as fans now, like taking ourselves out of it as much as we can and just really watching it. I'm like super interested in watching the David Scott storyline. Like I wish they had, instead of like kind of aging David up, which is what ends up happening, making him part of the group. Like I wish we had followed that younger storyline because it would have been something for everyone. I'm totally into it.
Yeah, I always felt like that was such a great little glimpse into a real reality of the world that we were all in. And it's kind of like one of those great 80s rom-coms, you know, they always have the John Cusack on the side with the braces on, or so that, you know, like what, and you see what's going on in their heads and their lives. And it's really fun to kind of brings it all into perspective.
It was a bummer to be a bit of a more nerdy character than I suppose. it's more fun to be like the studly, you know, hero, you know, but my character and myself, my own personality are very, very much not that anyways.
Come on. You're the studly hero.
No.
You pretty much are, though, facts in real life.
But it's nice because I've heard from others that, hey, it's kind of nice because maybe they weren't that way in high school either. They weren't the most popular, and I certainly wasn't, you know, at all. So it's nice to hear from other people that there's a part of the character that resonated with them, and I appreciate that.
It's so funny looking back, like you were so adorable in that character. Like there, to me, looking at it from outside perspective, there's nothing nerdy about that character. Like, in fact, like I would definitely go for Scott Scanlon over Steve Sanders in high school, you know?
Well, thank you.
For sure.
well, thank you. And I'm lucky my wife did as well. So
yeah, there you go. It all worked out.
Worked Indeed. Out for you.
Indeed.
We'd be amiss if we didn't ask, like, what was your first experience, like, coming in, like, the first reading with everyone and meeting the cast? We're kind of asking, we asked Gabrielle the same thing when she was on.
So it's interesting. At first, I interviewed for David's character, the character of David. Went up to network, as you all no doubt know what network is. It's rigorous and there's only two or three people typically, and you go in and you read with a variety of people. So at least I had met a few of them. I had met Ian and I had seen Jason like in the hallway, but we didn't directly interact like at network. I obviously didn't get it. Brian got it, which actually was a super kind thing, I think, for me to see. I knew Brian growing up off and on. We saw each other on interviews and stuff like that. So to have a friend or someone that you know or recognize get a role that you were trying for is nice as well. It's kind of, it's redeeming because you can be happy for them. Mm-hmm. So I was happy to see him get the role. I was brought back. I already read the script. Was asked
who else tested with you guys? Do you remember? Was it anyone that went on that we would know? So it was you, Brian?
No, but it was... I mean, I was lucky enough just by your dad bringing me back to read for the character of Scott. And
maybe they just loved you so much that they wrote a new character for you. Yeah.
Well, I was extremely fortunate that it was supposed to be a reoccurring role initially. And they made it a series regular for the first season. So that, of course, was you can't get any more lucky and blessed than that. That's extraordinary. But your dad, Tori, he walked outside after I interviewed. And of course, it wasn't a series regular role. So it was just a regular straight up callback. And he put his arm around me and walked me down the hall. And he said, well, if you would like the job, we would like to have you to take the role. And I said, aww, Mr. Spelling, I would be honored to come work for you. It was really, obviously it means a lot to me. So, bless your dad. And I'm so thankful he gave me the opportunity to work with you all.
I know he loved you. He thought you were so talented. And a great kid. He would always say, he's a great kid.
Well, yay, thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that. That's probably the highest compliment I've ever gotten.
So. Do you remember, like, back in the day being on the set, maybe like when we were filming at Torrance High or what?
Oh, yeah.
You know, just like the madness of filming in that environment with all the real kids in the high school and us being just thrown into the middle of them like pieces of meat.
Absolutely. Oh, yeah, absolutely. And then it was just weird that we were in a real high school as they were having classes. Mm-hmm. And as they were having, and I mean, I was still in high school when I started. So it was interesting to see people both older and my age to be like, it's weird to film on a live set that way when you have bells ringing and you have 600 students walking across each way and they're kind of closing down very specific areas so that they're not in shots. And then of course, with the soundstage and everything in Van Nuys, having that built and the ever rotating set that was really just one hallway and just a handful of the same lockers, basically. Yeah. It's kind of fun to reflect back on.
It is. Did you take anything that you learned on the set of 90210? Did that propel you into your desire to like get out of the business and live a normal life?
No, to the contrary. I mean, I loved my time. I started working when I was four and, mm-hmm. Started to work on the show, the pilot. I was 14 and a half, 15-ish. Turned 16, so then went through. And Tori, I can forever thank you for giving me one of the most wonderful birthdays of a teenager.
What was it? What happened?
No, it was just a lot of gifts and a lot of fanfare, and it really made it a 16th birthday.
Aww.
It was fun. It meant a lot to me as close as we were as friends. She gave me a very special bracelet and had balloons, and just, it really was kind of to work on set and be 16 and work that day. It was really cool. Super, super fun.
It is fun. It's fun to work on your birthday, right?
For that, yes. I've had some birthdays that I did.
In our business.
Yeah. For that one, yes, that was fun for certain.
16, wow.
So yeah,
that's crazy.
But as I said, I mean, to the contrary, there were things that I learned from working with an ensemble cast and being the younger player and taking some leadership understanding from you all and how to apply that to when I would later work with other teams in different mm-hmm. endeavors, so I could kind of take some of that personality dynamic of getting along with the team for an end goal. Of getting a shot in acting, it's getting a shot done or executing a script or whatever. And being a part of a cast,
of a group, and it's a team, and it only works when everybody works well together.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And so it is no different than applying those same dynamics to, mm-hmm. When you work outside of acting in say normal jobs or team dynamics with,
What was it like with the guys? I know, like, Brian to this day still talks about, like, he didn't feel for a while that he fit in because he was so much younger and he was always, like, trying to fit into the group, kind of. We didn't feel that way about him or as time moved on, obviously. But did you feel that way with the guys especially?
I was probably the most different of anyone, at least in that regard, because I was definitely the youngest. I was mm-hmm. still in school and I had a parent on set.
Yeah.
Which was good and different, because my mom was the one that drove me, to and from work every day. So I
would be gosh.
I loved being with your mom every day.
I forgot
such a big part of my life too.
And she loves you all, and she would wish me to say hello, just so you know.
Please give her my love. Hello. Oh my God, she was such a Absolutely. Huge part of my childhood, you know? Like,
she was your well,
always with us. Yeah.
But yeah, so my take, at least from the guy's perspective, would definitely be different. I mean, I was, you know, kind of everyone else was older, but you, Tori, and Brian were, as I said, closest to my age. So I could, you know, sit in one of you guys' room and we could chat or hang out on off hours, or, you know, actually be peers, more like peers, say. So enjoyable.
We want to know if you will come back and talk to us again for your big episode in season two. That was a very important episode for the show.
Yes. And we don't want to spoil it for everyone that's for the first time perhaps watching mm-hmm. along with us. So we'll just say it's a very important episode, and we would love to have you back because it's fun catching up with you.
It'd be my pleasure. Thank you.
Yay. Thank you.
Thank you very much for asking me.
You're welcome. Thanks for being with us.
I'm Elia Connie, and this is Family Therapy.
My best hopes, I guess, identify the life that I want and work towards it.
I never seen a man take care of my mother the way she needed to be taken care of.
I get the impression that you don't feel like you've done everything right as a father. Is that true?
That's true, and I'm not offended by that.
Thank you for going through those things, and thank you for overcoming them.
Wow, thank God for the limits.
Every time I have one of our sessions be positive. It just keeps me going.
I feel like my focus is redirected in a different aspect of my life now.
So, how'd we do today?
We did good.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy. Listen now on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
iHeart Podcast Update. This week on your free iHeartRadio app. Fodor's Guide to Espionage, a 60s-era spy story of the world's first and greatest travel writer, Eugene Fodor, as he jet sets around the globe. Tongue Unbroken Season 2. This podcast explores complex concepts of identity, resilience, erasure, and genocide. Table for Two Season 2. Think of the show as a deconstructed Oscar party in podcast form. Each episode takes place over the romance of a meal and feels like you're seated next to a different guest at that dinner. Hear these podcasts and more on your free iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV True Crime Podcast, To Live and Die in L.A. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world, and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am like I am where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, we're back. We have a lot to say about that interview.
Oh, my gosh.
He is he's so adorable. I'm like,
mm-hmm. Wait, you guys, I'm having feelings here. Oh, no. Maybe I screwed up my life path, like my journey, falling for the bad boy, the one that would tease me, and falling for Brian. I should have fallen for Doug. Mm-hmm. He was like my best friend, and he was so sweet and kind to me, and we laughed, and we had so much in common. And I blew about that birthday
gift. Wow.
You guys, for a moment, I honestly didn't remember. And as soon as he started talking about it, it all came back to me. But I didn't remember for a moment. And I thought he was going to say I gave him a 16th birthday kiss or something. I didn't know what he was going to say. And at that moment, I was into it. I was listening and I was like, I would have been okay. Like, oh, he was so cute. I forgot I did give him a little bracelet, a friendship bracelet. Oh, God.
Yeah, he is a doll. I think you did make a mistake. I'm going to go on record right now. Because
I didn't, I was a typical teenage girl and didn't go for the nice guy. God. Mm-hmm. If we all look back and went for the nice guy, we would save ourselves years of heartbreak of growing up if we had just done it the right way then.
But could you have gone on to be like a military wife and have a normal civilian situation?
What? It wouldn't have impact. Well, I didn't go on to end up with Brian, so it didn't.
I guess not.
I'm just saying, like, it would have been a nice experience, I think, because he would have been good to me and loving to me.
He's so – I have a nephew that's in the military also, and he reminded me so much of him. It was tripping me out. Just the manners and the just gratitude. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the vocabulary, the gratitude, just the depth of the person, you know?
Is that one I met backstage when we were doing our live tour?
Yes. Didn't he remind you of Ryan?
Yes. Except I'm remembering something from that night, so no.
Oh, Lord.
I think we drank backstage. I think I might have flashed him. I'm sorry about that. I hope that didn't.
My nephew. Yeah, you did. Well, it wasn't really a flashing as much as it was. I think you were putting your Spanx on and things got a little. Yeah. He saw some things. He can't unsee.
Poor guy. If he didn't already have PTSD from the life he's lived in the military, I surely did it.
We did some damage that night. But he still loves me, so I'm pretty sure he still loves you.
Okay, good, because he's a nice guy.
Can we talk about Brenda and Kelly? First of all, Donna was not in this episode. Did we?
Wait, what the heck? Like, I thought you said there was only one episode out of all the 10 years that you weren't in, and that's already happened. We saw that. That's when you got your nose job.
I can only go by what Darren Martin, our biggest fan, tells me, because he knows every stat about everything of 90210. And I thought he told me I only missed one episode, but clearly
I didn't see you in this episode anywhere, and I looked.
I looked too. Believe me, I feel like I must have been in a scene and it got cut or something. Because I don't. Why would I not be in this episode?
Whatever.
Was I missed?
Yes, you were missed.
Mm-hmm. Okay, fine. Let's move on.
But Brenda and Kelly, I thought it was a fun storyline that they had. I love when the show does fun things. Like, I'm really realizing, yeah, the show tackled a lot of like important topics and talked about a lot of like, you know, heavy things at times. But I really love it when the show is fun and like you see the characters goofing off, even with Brandon and Steve and the baby scene and them trying to put the diaper on the baby. I love that. And then the whole Brenda Kelly on the radio, like
when they
guessing
won.
Game. That was so. Did you ever do that? Did you ever call into a radio station?
All the time.
I never did that.
You never did?
I mean, I did as Kelly, but not in real life. There's so many things I did as Kelly that I didn't do in real life, but it was fun to watch.
I used to call Kiss FM like every single day.
Yeah.
Did you ever win anything?
No. I think on like Channel 5 News, I won a turkey during Thanksgiving one year.
Oh, that's really exciting for a young person.
But I was a child, so yeah.
You're like, what the hell am I?
They were like, and who? I gave it to my nanny.
That was nice. I'm sure she enjoyed it.
But the storyline was very accurate of you guys winning the contest by naming all five songs in a row. And then the prize was so crazy. I don't think legally we would ever give away skydiving.
Right? That seems like an insurance, no. Some sort of, yeah, problem. I remember filming that scene, though, where I had to say the title of that song.
Mm-hmm.
And even when I was saying it, I had no idea what that song was or who that band was that I was talking about.
I thought still, you were going to say it had an S know. In it. She can't say S names.
No, but I felt like it was, I still didn't know who the heck she was talking about.
It was cute seeing you guys jump out of the plane, though.
Oh my God, those, okay.
We're just so you didn't really jump out of a plane, right?
Yes, we did.
No, you did not.
We really did that.
We really jumped
out of a plane. It wasn't a stunt double.
We really jumped out of a plane.
You really went skydiving.
What?
We jumped out of a plane.
She's messing with us. How do you not know, Tori?
I don't know. I don't remember. Honestly, like when I watched this episode, I was like, I didn't remember that happening.
I don't believe her.
I would never have done that.
Got a funny look on.
With it, we jumped out of the plane, but it wasn't in the sky.
There we go.
On the stage. But that's just a little detail. But oh my gosh. Wait, what about Don Juan?
The hottie
skydiving man.
Shocking. Brenda likes an older man.
Both of you guys did.
He was likable, let me tell you.
Brenda and her older men, it's crazy.
You know what else I noticed in that when they were doing like the lessons and they were all sitting in the chairs and Kelly was wearing that? Oh my God, you guys, I just realized I was about to say Kelly was wearing that denim shirt and I'm wearing a denim shirt.
Yeah.
That is no coincidence. You plan these things. She's very
No, I did not. It must have been inspired.
And I'm there for it.
Cool though. That it was like I've never seen a denim shirt quite like that. Like off the shoulder situation.
Yeah,
it was very
cute.
I think I'd wear that now.
Have either one of you actually gone skydiving in real life?
I would never.
Mm-mm. I'm afraid of heights.
No. Yeah, I would never. I'm terrified of doing something like that. Falling.
Mm-mm. Falling?
Would never.
No. No.
It's more like jumping, but I guess, yeah. No.
Falling feeling, though, that feeling.
It's fun.
Ugh. The I've done it coasters. Once. You did it?
Oh, really?
Skydived.
I don't know the past tense
Skydove?
Skydove.
Skydoved? You did the sky jumpy thing.
I did. I was an intern and I was supposed to go and take pictures of one of the morning show guys back in San Diego who was going to be going skydiving. And then when I was there, one of the extra instructors was like, hey, he's like, I'm on my break. Do you want to go? I'll take you. And I said, okay. I had no time to think about it. So I thought that was the best way to go skydiving because I didn't like sleep on it. It was just go. I decided within 5 minutes.
And you survived, clearly.
I survived.
So that's good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it was tandem.
You were on his back.
He was on my back.
On your back.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Or I don't know how they clip y'all in, but.
Wow.
It's okay. I would recommend it.
Never. Mm-mm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, just hearing you talk about it is making my heart beat fast and not in a good way.
We do not like the heights there.
No.
These two broads don't like the heights.
Roller coasters, all that.
No.
Even roller coasters scare you? Like Magic
Mountain? I can't go on a roller coaster. No.
Mm-mm. Well, I used to be able to when I was younger and more adventurous, but now no freaking way am I going on a roller coaster.
What about if it's in a roll? What if it's in a roll?
No.
I might have to like turn the roll down.
Or get a stunt double or something.
I would, oh my God, you just freaked me out so bad. Like, I don't know what I would do. I'm so scared, like terrified.
It's not that bad.
At least she used to go on roller coasters. Like, I never did. Like, they're my worst nightmare.
I feel like you guys would do it if you were in your dream role job or whatever. Yeah. And they're like, hey, we got to do it.
And guess what we're going to do on our new show? Go on a roller coaster.
No, we're not.
I just realized. Oh, yes, we are.
No, we're not. Then I'm not doing it.
Oh, okay.
Well, I told you that's the one thing I won't do. Roller coaster. No, that's like one thing I will not do. You understand, you guys.
She wears a wig.
It's so traumatizing to me. What are you saying about me right now? What is happening?
We were talking about your wig.
I don't wear a wig. Imagine. Is that how you're supposed to do that. It? You know when people do that? Like,
you're going to rip your tape out. Stop it.
I know. They need to come out. They're like real bad.
Oh my gosh.
Anywho. Oh, you guys, back to the baby in the episode. Sorry. Back to the baby in the episode. I'd like to talk to that baby now because the poor thing was like traumatized. They made it cry a lot. And the way they were holding it and masking, taping it, and feeding it things they shouldn't. Like, I was like, what? Who? Poor baby. And also, there was a scene when Melissa takes Brandon into the baby's bedroom while he's sleeping. And she turned on the light.
It's a no-no.
You don't do that. You don't go into a baby's room, A, at all, when they're sleeping. And B, you don't go in there and turn on the light and then have
a conversation. Well, you have to when you're filming a TV show so the audience can see what's happening.
I guess so. He didn't wake up, so there's that. Ooh, let's talk about fashion. 90210. No. No, you don't. What's the thing? 90210. No, she didn't wear that. You like that? The Brenda and the Kelly in the purple spandex was not to be forgotten. And that helmet was extremely flattering, I would like to add.
No, not many big fashion moments because I wasn't in the episode, which is I want to know why I wasn't. Let's ask Chuck. We need to ask Chuck.
Nobody else was wearing clothes in the episode because you weren't in it. You don't even notice. We could have been naked and you wouldn't even have noticed.
Oh, I would.
That's what I wrote down. I said the sports coats on a date. It's such a '90s vibe. Like, what was it with sports coats?
They did that in last episode too, when they went to the
party. It's just a Brandon thing.
Maybe, but you guys are 16 or portraying 16.
I
know. Like,
it's just weird. I agree with you 100%. Like, why are they wearing sports jackets?
Is that just a disconnect? No offense to the, you know, fashion team, but is that just like a disconnect?
I thought it was just a Brandon thing.
No, Steve was wearing them.
Yeah. Melissa was wearing one. And Brenda wears them all the time.
But that was in then, maybe, no?
The big 90s, shoulder pads. Maybe so. I don't know. Did either of you have a favorite line from this episode?
I only had one, and it was from you. When Kelly and Brenda are helping Brandon call Melissa for the date. And it was just so cute because it was so relevant to like what it was like being a teenager and calling boys and girls and, you know, and having like someone on the other end help, like feeding you lines and telling you what to say. And so Kelly tells Brandon, cut the small talk. You're giving her too much time to think. It was such an accurate
because God forbid the girl have a thought. Yeah. That was good. I had a favorite line. I don't know why this was my favorite line. It was so like not a moment in the show, but was when Cindy was talking to Melissa at the end in the living room and she was like, having a little heart to heart with her. And she said, the question is, what do you want? And for some reason that just stuck out for me because this girl, you know, she'd been through a lot and given up so much of her teenageness to have a baby and to ask yourself, what do you want? It's such a, I don't know. I still do that today. Not to get too deep, but I was just talking to my therapist about this. What do you want? And like being able to clearly define what do you want? And that can change, you know, like, but I think it's good to ask yourself that question.
No idea. I know that I want to go to questions from the listeners.
Good.
Okay.
Jen is asking, was there ever a storyline or a new character, not actor, that you didn't like and wished had gone a different way? If so, what or who was it? Did you ever try to alter a storyline or were you allowed to? It's a very long question.
That's a cool question. Did you try to alter a storyline or could you? That would be like nowadays, like choose your own adventure. Imagine if we could have altered storylines and taken them a different direction.
Who knows where the show would have gone? It would have gone off the rails. I know that.
Yeah.
I don't think we were never given that license or that freedom to change anything, really. So I don't think we altered a storyline or in any way.
I know a storyline and a character that I wish had gone a different way. I think Ray Pruitt being with Donna, like, I thought they were a great couple. Not that they would have ended up together, because obviously she was always supposed to be with David. But Jamie Walters was so great and so talented. And mm-hmm. I feel like the writers and producers had no idea. They were trying to do a storyline about, you know, what happens in an abusive relationship. I didn't think they thought that America would literally turn on the character of Ray and they would have to take him off the show. So I feel like that I wish that had gone a different way, because I thought he was a great part of the show and I felt bad.
Yeah, he was so cute and he could sing too. So.
Yeah, so dreamy and like
two for one.
We had a musician on the show. Yeah, it was cool. And what a bummer that everyone turned on him, on the fans, and they had to take him off the show. That sucked.
Do you remember, because we laugh about this sometimes now, and I don't really honestly know what we're laughing at. So if you can clarify it to me. John Sears. Do you remember character John Sears?
Sure do.
Why? Because I remember it not being a great experience, and perhaps persuading or begging for him to not be Kelly's love interest at a certain point. Is that, do you recall that at all?
I don't know. And we haven't gotten to the episodes with John Sears in them, but all I remember, I know he was good friends with Jason off camera.
Mm-hmm.
And it was kind of the older guys kind of thing. Like, they were always going out and hanging out. So I never really got to hang out with him outside of work. I mean, a couple times at parties, I guess. To be honest, I don't know what went on there.
I don't either. And I really wish I did.
Someone must know.
Maybe he knows. Maybe we should ask him.
We should have Paul on. Was his name Paul?
Yeah, let's ask Paul Johansson, I think.
Yes.
Johansson.
Mm-hmm. Oh, we have to have him on. Because that is a running thing, that we know that there was something with John Sears, but we don't know what went down.
Yeah, was it Kelly and John, or was it Jenny and Paul? I need to know. Do we have another question, sis?
We have one more. It's from Leah. She says, I was listening to the episode about the 17-year itch, season 1, episode 8, and Jenny and Tori say they never called Mrs. Teasley Mrs. T. However, I'm pretty sure Steve or Brandon or maybe even Dylan did. I know Donna did in the episode where she is allowed to graduate. Mrs. Teasley tells Spoiler. Everyone to go back to school to take afternoon finals. And Donna says, you know, Mrs. T, I have never been so happy to take a final in my entire life.
Well, so there you have it.
The lesson of this story is I was wrong. I didn't remember calling her Mrs. T because it made me think of Mr. T. And I thought you were just being funny when you said it. And I didn't think we called her that. But you're right. Steve probably always called her Mrs. T. I don't know.
The fans know.
You're right, Leah. I'm sorry.
Good job, Leah.
Leah, the detective. I love it.
We depend on our fans, though, because there are 10 years. There's a lot of things. We were in it. Absolutely. So, you know, when you were in it, sometimes you don't remember what was really going on because we didn't watch it from your perspective. Now we are, but so we
yes, and we love it. We love the questions. We love the comments. So keep them coming because it's fun for us to hear from you guys.
And give us 5 stars like Tori's and Jenny's feet on WikiFeet.
Please, please give us 5 stars.
Or 5 feet.
5 feet. Ladies, we have to plug the live show that's coming up.
Oh, yes. Our live show.
It's a virtual event.
Whatever that is.
On February 17th. Obviously, we wish we could be with you all in person. But hey, this is the next best thing. You actually get to watch us do the podcast, talk about the episode. It's going to be really fun.
Yeah, and we're gonna give stuff away probably, and have special guests. And
so
it's going
make
to
sure
be
you get
so
your tickets, you guys.
Yeah, there's still tickets. There's still tickets. You can buy tickets at onlocationlive.com/90210MG, or of course you can go to our Instagram page and get all the info up in there.
Mm-hmm.
We should mention, too, that a portion of the proceeds from the live event will go to Save Our Stages, which is a great initiative that's working to help local music venues stay afloat during these times. So love it's that. Very important. I know I love to go see live music. So Save Our Stages is going to get some love from us.
Yeah. So get your tickets, get the merch. It's all on our Instagram.
We have two sweatshirts, one t-shirt. We have a Donna and Kelly Forever t-shirt that's super cute. And get your merch and send us pictures so we can hashtag them and post them and get the merch trending because we want to see you in our gear. Is that right? We saw how Jen looked in it. She wore the 902.1 OMG sweatshirt last week. It looks so cute on her.
Yeah, it was good. That's it for this episode. Next week, new episode. Everybody's got to watch it. What's next week's episode, sis?
The next episode is Slumber Party.
Slumber Party. Enter John Sears. It's like really? Kismet. We were talking about him.
He's in that episode?
Well, that's the first time you talk about John Sears because you...
Are you sure?
You tell a story.
Oh, my goodness. I can't wait to watch it now to see.
One of the best Kelly Taylor scenes in 90210 history. We will be talking about it next week. Very excited.
Thanks for listening, guys. Have a great week.
Talk to you next week. Love you.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are coming back to Atlanta.
Right now.
Whoa. Mark your calendars for the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts, but we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
I am so excited about this podcast, The Bright Side. You guys are giving people a chance to shine a light on their lives, shine a light on a little advice that they want to share.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
Every family has an origin story, one passed down through the generations. Mine happens to be a mystery involving my great-great-grandmother left behind in Sicily. I'm Joe Piazza, and my new podcast will transport you to the gorgeous island of Sicily as I trace my roots back through a whodunit for the ages. Listen to The Sicilian Inheritance on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you ask two people the same 7 questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same 7 questions, including Courtney Cox, Rob Delaney, Liz Phair, and many, many more. Join me on season 3 of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. 7 questions, limitless answers.